Public hearing was canceled, changed to April the 12th. That was conditional use 2121. And that leaves us with change of zone number 1847, Winsford Ray Hutchins Sr. and Josephine C. Hutchins.
This is an ordinance.
Chairman, I'm going to recuse myself from participating in this public hearing.
Okay.
I'll be in the flood court.
All righty.
So this is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 2.09 acres, more or less. The property is located on the west side of Sussex Highway, Route 13, approximately 412 feet north of Boyce Drive Road. The 911 address is 28506 Sussex Highway, Laurel. The tax map is District 132, Map 12, Parcel 102.01. Staff would submit, for the record, a staff analysis, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, and the results of the DLDOT service level evaluation that did not require a TIS. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, my name is Josephine Hutchins. My address is 28506 Sussex Highway, Laurel, Delaware.
Okay, would you have anything you'd like to add to the record other than what Ms. Cornwell read in?
I think she talks fast. I don't know if I kept up with it. I listened to most of it. This is sort of a lifetime change issue with us. My husband and I have had a little mom and pop bicycle shop there, right off of 13. And it's sort of been a hobby for my husband, little added income to help with expenses. And my husband can no longer do it. His hands are totally crippled from arthritis and injuries to his hands. He cannot do it on his own. He's never had employees or any help. And therefore, we're at a stage in our life we're not sure what we want to do. But changing the zone in the property is probably going to be, we're going to need it one way or the other. Right now, the only way my husband can keep the bicycle shop running is if he does hire someone to help him. He cannot do the close mechanical stuff. Also, we have a son who's changing professions right now, and he has thought a little bit about maybe bringing an office there to the house to run an office out of. Other than that, we're just not sure what to do. We've tried to sell for a little while, and we never even got to show the house, because the minute the people knew that they couldn't do what we did, they couldn't come in and run a little business there and make a job for themselves, whatever the case may be. They didn't even have any further interest in seeing the house or talking to us or anything. So it is not really a residential type of property, in our opinion. It's right there on the dual highway, and it's, like I said, over a two-acre piece of land. So I'm not sure. Right now, we're not certain what we're going to do, but like it seems one way or the other. If we want to stay and try to use it, we need to be commercial. If we have to wind up selling it because we can't stay there and work, then nobody's going to buy it unless they can use it commercial.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And the property across the street is all zoned commercial, is that right? Yeah.
We have Home World over there, Auto Depot, then Chesapeake Seafood. No, Bayside Seafood. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then Bayside Seafood goes right into a little strip mall, like where there's a dentist and fingernail people and all that stuff. And then you go right to the big Kubota place. And then, of course, across the road, then you're getting up there to Food Lion, and
right,
it's nothing but commercial surrounding us in every way, except the one big piece of woods. That's it.
Sounds like a well-thought-out plan. We'll see if there's any questions by members of the commission. Since Mr. Wheatley stepped out, Mrs. Hoey Stevenson, do you have any questions?
I do not.
Mr. Hopkins, do you have any questions?
Well,
I'd just like to say first, y'all have provided a fine service to the county over the years. I think I still have a number of your bikes in my barn.
Yes, and my, and it's breaking my husband's heart to have to, and he doesn't want to get out of it. He just needs somebody to do the work.
Right.
And.
Mr. Hudson, you have any questions?
Thank you.
And I don't have any questions either, Mr. Whitehouse?
None, thank you.
Samantha, no?
No questions.
Ms. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Mr. Robertson?
None, thanks.
Okay, if you take a seat nearby, if anyone here has any interest in your application, okay? Is anyone here like to testify, to speak in favor of changing zone 1847 Hutchins Senior? Anybody like to speak in opposition to this application? Seeing no one rise, anybody on commission or staff have any additional questions? We're going to close the public hearing. You're welcome to stay with us this evening to see if we make a decision, or we may call the office in the morning. And that's the end of our public hearings, and you may want to fetch Mr. Wheatley back in. Our first item of other business is the estuary. Subdivision 205-64, revised subdivision plan.
This is a revised subdivision plan for the estuary phase 1B for revisions to the approved sidewalk design shown on the landscape plan. The tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 19, Parcel 413. The zoning district is AR1. The revised final subdivision plan complies with the zoning and subdivision codes.
Chairman, I move for approval of the revised subdivision plan of the estuary 2005-64.
Second.
We have a motion and second to approve the revised subdivision plan for the estuary, subdivision 205-64. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is McKinney's Grove, site plan 1804 and conditional use 2072, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for McKinney's Grove, conditional use 2072, for 20 single-family detached condominiums and site improvements on a 5.1-acre lot accessed from Munchie Branch Road, Sussex County Road 270A. The zoning district is General Residential, GR. Staff are in receipt of all agency approvals. The site plan complies with the preliminary and final site plan requirements in the county's zoning code. The tax parcel ID is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 27.00.
Hey, before we make any things, I have a question, because the site plan that we have is slightly different from the concept plan we were shown when this was brought in. And it's the original plan was, they talked about amenities, and this one says amenities, but it doesn't say what amenities they're talking about. So is there anyone here?
Would you want to come forward and address this question?
Anybody?
Happy to, yeah. The reason it doesn't show anything is because we're going to bring that section back in, just like any other amenity, for its own site plan review. It hasn't been designed yet, but what we presented before is what we intend to do, which is like an outdoor seating area with some kind of shade structure, a fire pit, maybe some barbecue pits, that sort of arrangement.
Okay, and we will have another plan come in
for those
that
in
amenities
particular
to be approved.
Well, yeah, but if it gets final, it gets final.
It gets final. There you go. All your agency approvals are in, so this means that we would not be able to grant you final tonight if you're going to come back in with an amenities plan. It's going to hold you up.
Well, I'm a little bit confused. We get final site plan approval all the time and come back with the amenities areas.
Yeah, not on a conditional use, though.
Yeah, you make a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true, like on an RPC or a big subdivision or whatever else. Yeah.
Well, those are what we're going to do. They haven't been designed, but that's what we're going to do in the same area. And the reason it's in a different location is because we slid it to the side instead of centered on that pond so that we could get more volume in the pond. But those are the amenities that we intend to do.
So how do we?
Well, the easiest way is
just say that.
Do you have a list of what those amenities are and a description?
Well, I would just say, not to hold it up indefinitely, just make it final subject to staff's receipt of the revised final that just shows the amenities. I mean, unless you want to see what.
No, I trust that the staff can this is an amenity. It's not just a piece of open
concrete
space. You can go stand, like, there's your piece of grass, go stand there. So that's, I will trust the staff on that. So however we have to say that.
That works for me.
Okay.
So you want me to take a stab at it, Vince, or would you like to?
Go for it, Keller, you can do it.
I move for final site plan approval.
We do have to do preliminary.
No, so you want to move for a preliminary approval with final subject to staff showing the amenities and receipt of all agency approvals.
So moved. I should have said Janelle, not.
Second.
Thank you.
All right, it's teamwork here. We have a motion and a second to grant preliminary site plan approval with a final by staff subject receipt of amenities, revised amenities site plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is Salt Air site plan 18-07, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for a 19-unit single-family residential condominium community on a 4.16-acre site access from Sandy Cove Road. That's Sussex County Route 358. The application follows the approval of conditional use number 2085 by Planning and Zoning Commission on July 13th of last year and by County Council on August 22nd of last year. The site is within the General Residential Zoning District, GR. The tax parcel is District 134, Map 9, Parcels 88, 80.06 and 80.01, and it's a part of that parcel. Staff are awaiting agency approvals. The preliminary site plan complies with the zoning code. Thank you.
Just have one question first.
Sure.
Due to the fact that it's the only one that has to come back is RPC, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the preliminary site plan of Salt Air S18-07 with a final by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the preliminary site plan of Salt Air site plan 18-07 with final by staff, subject receipt of all agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is Hennepin Plaza, change of zone 1818, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for Hennepin Plaza to relocate an access driveway, expand storage area in connection with building 9, and erection of a 1,440 square foot building for the owner's personal use following the approval of change of zoning district to C1 on May 23rd of last year. That's under change of zone reference 1818. The tax parcel is District 334, Map 6, Parcel 497.08. Staff are awaiting agency approvals. The preliminary site plan complies with the zoning code.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the preliminary site plan with final of Hennepin Plaza, change in zone 1818, with final site plan approval subject to staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the preliminary site plan of Hennepin Plaza, change zone 1818 with final by staff, subject to receipt of all state agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is Richard and Dawn Jamieson, conditional use 2099, preliminary site plan.
This is a request for preliminary site plan approval for conditional use 2099 for the use of an existing barn for a wedding and reception venue with adequate parking located off Woodpecker Road. The conditional use was approved on December 5th, 2017. The parcel is zoned AR1, tax parcel number 531-12.00-92. Staff are now in receipt of all agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the Richard and Dawn Jamieson conditional use number 2099 site plan as a preliminary and a final.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the preliminary site plan of Richard and Dawn Jamieson conditional use 2099 as a preliminary and a final. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is Governor's Condominium Community Conditional Use 1772, Preliminary Amenities Plan.
This is a preliminary amenities plan for Governor's Conditional Use 1772 Condominium Community to include a 2,500 square foot assembly hall, a 2,340 square foot indoor recreation building, a 400 square foot office building, swim pool, 75 space parking area, and other site improvements including landscaping. The tax parcel ID is District 335, Map 12, Parcel 3.11. The zoning district is Agricultural Residential AR1. Staff are awaiting agency approvals. And the preliminary site plan complies with the zoning code.
Why has this got a preliminary amenities plan and the one we just talked about?
So this actually started off as a conditional use, but it was going to be fee simple lots. And then they came back and changed it to a condominium. So this one is kind of a hybrid major subdivision, and then they switched over to a condominium as the conditional use, which is why the amenities are separate in this instance.
Okay,
normally they would not be, but again, the way this started, it started off as a conditional use that was going to be fee simple lots.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to Governor's Condominium Community CU 1772, I move for approval of the preliminary amenities plan.
Second.
We have a, can that be final by staff? Final by staff?
Final by staff.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and second to approve the preliminary amenities plan for Governor's Condominium Community CU 1772 with final by staff, subject receipt of any agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our last item. Our next item is Lands of Moore, minor subdivision off of 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision for the creation of two parcels of land off an existing 50-foot easement. Lot 1 will measure 0.8559 acres, give or take, and Lot 2 will measure 0.75 acres, give or take. The residual will measure 1.218 acres, plus or minus. The property is zoned AR1, tax parcel 234-33.00-42.00. Staff is awaiting agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the minor subdivision with the 50-foot easement with final approval by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals for Lands of Moore minor subdivision.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minor subdivision of the 50-foot easement for Lands of Moore with final by staff, subject to receipt of all agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is Lands of Savini. Complete construction, a minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement.
This is a request for the subdivision of one parcel into two separate parcels measuring 15.17 acres plus or minus and 5.20 acres plus or minus. The parcels will be accessed from an existing 50-foot access easement. The parcel is zoned AR1, tax parcel 235-25.00-30.11. Staff are awaiting agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant the minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement for Lands of Savini complete construction, subject to a receipt of all other approvals.
Second.
We have a motion and second to approve the minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement for the Lands of Savini complete construction with final by staff, subject to receipt of all agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next and last item is Lands of Fraley, minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement.
This is a request for the subdivision of two lots off an existing 50-foot easement. Parcel D will measure 0.9402 acres, plus or minus, and parcel E will measure 1.0139 acres, plus or minus, with the residual measuring 2.7551 acres, plus or minus. The parcel is zoned AR1, tax parcel 133-2.00-83.00. Staff are awaiting agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval for the Lands of Fraley for a minor subdivision of 50-foot easement with the final by staff and receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minor subdivision of 50-foot easement for the Lands of Fraley with a final by staff subject to receipt of all agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Going back to our public hearings. Our first public hearing was conditional use number 2118, John W. Davidson.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use number 2118 for professional offices and contractors storage based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this application is identical to ordinance number 2340 for conditional use number 1978. That conditional use lapsed while the applicant was seeking his agency approvals. So two, the applicant has stated that he is willing to abide by all the conditions imposed as part of the ordinance number 2340. And since it was, you know, two very learned people were involved in that, I will trust that those were all good. Number three, the proposed use is still consistent with nearby uses, which include other business offices and contractors. Four, the findings of fact contained in ordinance number 2340 support the current recommendation of approval. And five, no parties appeared in opposition to this application.
Second.
And six, the recommendation. application is subject to all the conditions imposed upon an ordinance number 2340, and those conditions are incorporated into the recommendation in this entirety.
Still second.
We have a motion and a second to recommend approval of conditional use number 2118, John W. Davidson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Our next item was public hearing was subdivision 2017-17, Haley's Glen.
On this one, you might want to have some discussion on it. I
would like to, yeah.
Give some thought about, we've had issues on subdivisions with amenities where they have to cross roads and stuff. You know, I don't know whether you're going to recommend, or this one you don't recommend, you actually make the preliminary approval, but there's some thought about, you know, we heard testimony about traffic. It seems like, you know, while there's not concern, we don't have any control over traffic, but, you know, at the same time, that seems like that's an unnecessary sort of increase in traffic if you're making people drive all the way on the road and go all the way around the corner and everything else to amenities on a subdivision that's not even part of theirs.
But how are they going to cross the wetland?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I was going to ask that.
They're not. They've got to get out on the road and go all the way around. There's no across the way to get there. So.
Well, not with a vehicle. You can put a bridge through a wetland, a footbridge through a wetland. That's not.
That's a lot. Yeah,
you can do that.
They didn't propose doing that, though.
No, they didn't.
They didn't propose doing that. Right. That wasn't.
Well, it's a distance and it's quite expensive.
And as a native to this area, I have trekked through many a wetland without a bridge, and lost several shoes. So
that's why the bridge would be important.
Well, and you wear heels through the wetland. I mean, come on, Kim.
It's the Shoe Conservation Act.
I lost a whole boot one time.
Whole boot. Yeah, I don't want
to. Just also think, too, you need to think about whether that's going to come back, with homeowners associations that are not aligned, and that's going to come back on the county at some point.
This thought occurred to me, too, is this group of homes going to be required to pay part of the cost of those
amenities. That would have been a good question. I thought about that.
You know, this application is problematic for me for a number of reasons. That's one of them. It's just a long, narrow.
I don't care how many. I don't care their little bump outs. I'm not taking a fire truck around one of those.
That wouldn't happen. You wouldn't be able to.
You know, it's a little worrisome, but,
got that. Yeah, I'm sure there are artifacts on there. It's Sussex County, for goodness sake.
That's every property.
So, a couple dead squirrels, at least. I don't know, have we treated these situations in the past is the question, so that we're being consistent.
That's how they've been treated in the past with those similar types of bump outs, or you kind of do a traffic circle somewhere in the middle of the thing.
Doesn't the fire marshal also have to review
them? Yeah, no, they
will. Fire marshal has to approve it.
Them, yeah.
And they will have to be done so that they can be negotiated by a fire apparatus. And
that's why I asked about the width of the road, because I want to get some testimony about
how fire marshal will have something to say about that.
I mean, that's the only thing that concerns me is you put people in a pickle where they say, well, we can get fire marshal approval, and you're going to override their approval by saying it doesn't matter. And that's just a catch-22 that we may want to avoid. We might be able to, I think on the amenities side, just require them to have separate amenities, simple as that. And this would be a preliminary, they would have to come back.
You can. Is that not penalizing the folks that have the 68 units if they want a pool, but you can't afford a pool if you've only got 68 units?
If you can't afford a pool at upper 300s, then we got issues.
Yeah, I mean, pools they could individually afford pools at that rate, but that's not the point. It's not for us to get into the financial benefit or detriment. It's just what is proper decision making, and I think it is a reasonable thing to say that those folks driving around, number one, is terribly inconvenient. Number two, given the traffic, which I certainly empathize with the public's concern about that. I think we all know we're in a quandary about that. How do we solve something that's been growing for 50 plus years and there's no end in sight? So the way around that is to just simply say that, you know, we would require them to supply amenities separate for this particular.
I got issues.
Actually, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, I've got issues with the trees, too. I mean, I went out there and looked. Okay, up front, anything up there, there's a lot of scrub. But in the back, there's, you can look back there, there's old
it's
growth.
No trees. I mean, the problem you have to be concerned about when you start saying, well, you know, I'm going to make you preserve trees. So the next thing you're going to do is you're not going to see any trees on sites. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just going to go to the property owner, and they're going to say to the property owner, hey, here's what your property is worth with the trees on it, and here's what it's worth if you cut the trees down. I don't care what you do with them. At least now the trees are there, and some of them are preserved using the cluster provision. More of them are preserved. But we have to be careful about actually incentivizing the destruction of trees by saying they can't cut them if they develop it, because they'll cut them before they develop it.
That is a catch-22 now, isn't it? Thank you for pointing that out to me.
Well, I just, you know.
I mean, no, it's a good point, and I appreciate you bringing
it
up.
We've had the same discussion, you know, when Senator Carper was governor. I don't know, that's 30 years ago, my goodness, or something like that. It's been a long time. So, you know, I think, you know, probably, you know, maybe if we think about deferring this decision so we have time to think about it.
And
noodle through it a little bit further. I wish I could solve the traffic issues of the poor folks in Sussex County, myself included, because we sit through red lights as well.
And again, you know, it's all about what does the subdivision ordinance require of us. Been a great many plans come across here that I didn't like, but, you know, we have to view it in light of the ordinance and make a decision.
Yeah, and subdivisions, so there was a lot of testimony this evening that, particularly with regard to subdivision, that's not necessarily relevant. I mean, we heard a lot about, you know, the wildlife, you know, as much, I don't think anybody would disagree that, you know, that's important on some level, but in terms of legally, with regard to a subdivision, that doesn't really come into play. You know, we heard a lot about, you know, what were the property values, or what were the types of houses that would go on there, you know, that, the economics of it, that doesn't really come into place.
Right.
The tough part about subdivisions under Delaware law for you all is, you know, that's the least discretionary of the types of things that you all see. You know, change in zones, conditional uses, those are pretty discretionary. They're more legislative, whereas subdivisions are more, you know, I don't want to say they're by right, because I don't necessarily agree with that 100%, but if you satisfy requirements, you know, then it's hard to deny them. You can put all the conditions you want on them as long as they're, you know, reasonable and related to circumstances.
It is a permitted use, and there's some assumptions made by it being a permitted use.
And the other thing too, just on this one, because it's an environmentally sensitive developing district, there's not the superiority requirement that they have to satisfy either. The idea with the environmentally sensitive developing district was that you could by right cluster down to 7,500 square foot lots in that district, the theory being that then created more open space.
People talking about the kids walking out. My lane to my house is twice as long as the last person on this road would have had to have walked. And we walked it every day.
Yeah, the kids walking. I was like, come on now.
To catch our ride.
Yeah, you're going home and telling that one. Yeah, I'm with you on that
But
one.
We did have shoes.
Well,
it was uphill both ways in a hurricane, too, right?
But you did have shoes, yeah.
Well, okay.
And yes, I would agree, though, but I think we
need some more time on this one.
Point. Bus stop, place for the mailboxes.
Those things, you know, we can, the mailboxes, I don't know, we can put it in there if we want. We usually defer to the post office because the post office ultimately has decision-making power over where the post boxes go. So we can suggest that they confer with the post office, but I don't think we can tell the post office to accept a location. The bus stop, we can certainly.
Yeah, and you could also, again, if you're thinking about it, you know, going the approval route would be, because the commission's done this before, particularly we heard, you know, along the lines of what everybody's talking about with fire trucks and stuff, make it a separate pull-off, you know, or at least a lane or something for the bus stop and the mailboxes. Well, that's the kind of condition you could put on there if you want
to. A question that came up to me is
one road
when the bus comes there, where is that bus going to stop for all those kids to get on it? Number two, the mailbox thing, that could be a problem.
Interior.
And you're right, it probably, if they did have a mailbox spot, they need a pull-off spot, because that long, the kids aren't going to walk to the school bus, they're not going to walk to their mailbox either, sadly.
Although, if there's something that we feel they need to do, if they end up with 66 lots instead of 68, you know, sometimes that's just the way it is.
That's why I mentioned the amenities on the site. Yeah. I mean, you're really only talking a couple of lots they might lose.
So if you end up with, a few less, I think we've done, what we need to do. Vince, what are our limits in requiring amenities, though? Can we actually require amenities, or?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly have.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
Well, we should.
Yeah.
I think we should. I think it's an area where we have to be somewhat judicious.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I know a lot of times that, historically the thought's been there's no bright line on it. To Mr. Hopkins' point, you don't want to overburden a development with amenities that it can't afford. Then the other side of it is you want to have some amenities so people don't have to leave the place to relax, if it's a larger one.
Well, market forces will certainly have something to do with that, too. I mean, it certainly would be in developers' interest to have some kind of amenity.
Yeah.
To have something to sell.
And it does preclude the applicant or the property owner from still allowing the shared amenities with the Marsh Farms. I mean, just because we require some amenity on this parcel doesn't preclude them from still doing it.
I was looking at it the other way, saying that you don't require amenities so much on this one, but you don't allow this development to be intertwined with the other one.
I mean, stop it.
And I was never clear about cost sharing.
Well,
either.
I can tell you from experience dealing with these similar situations in existing places, to existing developments, that if somebody's using something, all the other somebodies are going to expect those people to be contributing to the maintenance cost and all that stuff. And then I don't know how you're going.
And it seems like, I don't know, thinking through it with representing homeowners association, you're going to get a real case of the have and have nots.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have these people and this one. That's over there. I'm not using that. Why am I paying for it?
And then
they're going to start calling the county and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, they would almost have to structure it so a homeowner could opt out and say, I don't want to use that stuff. Yeah, I know.
Well, you're really going to go.
Well, that's my point, Marty. It just keeps getting worse. The more
well, that's something
we'll
have to consider.
Yeah, just we'll noodle on it.
Bad discussion. Idea.
All right, Mr. Hudson, would you like to?
I move that we defer Bailey's Glen, also known as Kielbasa, 2017-17. Well, it's going to be David K. Kielbasa and Terry Jane Kielbasa for further consideration.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to defer action on subdivision 2017-17, Haley's Glen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Zipping along, we're on conditional use number 2119, Chad Hayes.
On this one, commissioners, if you would, I certainly don't want to hold Mr. Hayes up, and I don't think we will in the process with council. I'd just like to get a look at the prior conditional use just so it's consistent, with what was there.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions or concerns on that, having a car dealership on Route 9 right there next to Sand Hill? Okay. All right, then. I make a motion that we defer conditional use number 2119, Chad Hayes, for more thought.
Some thoughts on that, too. just something to think about as we defer it is how you want to handle the location of the cars on the site. Again, the commission sort of like in the front setback, how far off the road and that sort of stuff.
That's a good point. We probably should have discussed it with him. He's got you have to get in there to the back, and then he's got like the parking area.
The parking's in the rear of the facility right now, so it just
sounds like he wants to.
I think he just does what we have been doing on Route 9 and making sure that there's no parking in a setback area on 9.
Maybe we can get that on the motion. So,
any other comment? We have a motion and a second to defer action on conditional use 2119 Chad Hayes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item was moved off the agenda to April 12th, and the following item is change in zone number 1847, Winsford Ray Hutchins Sr. and Josephine C. Hutchins.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change of zone number 1847 for Winsford Ray Hutchins. Winsford.
The winner.
Winsford Ray Hutchins Sr. for a change in zone from AR1 to CR1 based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the property's been used by the applicant for years as a bicycle shop, which is a use consistent with commercial zoning. Two, this site is located on Route 13, which is appropriate for commercial zoning. Three, the rezoning is consistent with other commercial zoning and uses in the area. Four, the applicant have testified that given the site's location on Route 13 with so much commercial around it, the site is no longer appropriate for residential zoning. Commercial zoning is more appropriate than the current residential zoning. Five, no parties appeared in opposition to the application. Six, the rezoning to CR1 is consistent with the purpose of the CR1 district according to the Sussex County Zoning Code. And seven, any redevelopment of the site will require site plan approval by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. That's my motion.
Second.
We have motion and second to recommend approval of change in zone number 1847. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Oh, abstain.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's right. Let the record show 4-0 with Mr. Wheatley abstaining.
Second on that one.
Doug?
Okay.
Doug.
I say
yes. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, I think that's all the business before the commission. Is there anything else that anyone would like to bring up? So no one mentioned, we are adjourned.